Okay. For many of you all, like myself, you've been driving for many years, and you can pretty much say with confidence, I got this. I know how to drive. I know the laws. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know all the signs. I can see when someone else is doing wrong. You know, cutting in and out and speeding and hitting the brakes fast and other stuff. We know this stuff. But it's still good to every so often get one of those driving manuals, you know, and make sure you up on all the laws in case they might have changed some, or if they slipped in a new sign on you, or just to make sure you are aware of what the laws are. They got a thing, and now the last time I checked, boy, they got these, it's not a video, but it's sort of like a video. You can go on, it's a questionnaire. You can answer the questions to kind of rate yourself on how good a driver you are. Surprisingly enough, I missed a few that I thought, you know, I know that, but, you know, wasn't quite as knowledgeable as I thought I was. But that's good to keep you up on what's happening and what's going on. This lesson in leadership in the church, we pretty much know these verses, these passages of scripture, but it's good that we go back over it from time to time, because God is always telling us to study, 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 to show thyself approved and study again. And it never hurts to recheck and check and go back over to make sure that we are understanding the full content of what is being said in the scripture. Now, I wanted to kind of start off with this lesson a little slow so that to make sure we all get a good understanding of what the scriptures are saying. Hopefully, I tried to bring out a little bit more of what the scripture was saying to make sure we have a clear picture, get a better understanding of how when it says this, you automatically have a picture in your mind of what it means. We read it, we have read it, we read it, we'll continuously be reading it, and we know, but we want to make sure that we have a working knowledge, so to speak. So, is hopefully I won't get you bored dragging through it, and you say, well, I already know that, you know, but we all know some and we all know a lot, but when it comes to certain words, sometimes we think it's one thing and it could mean something else. As we have studied on our Wednesday night's class recently about how the Bible was been put together and how it come down from year to year, and the interpretations and how things are meant. And one of the things that we got from attending the lesson at Cole Harbor the past two nights, certain words, which goes along with what we've been studying on Wednesday nights, certain words that some of the scribes, the ones that wrote the Bible, they put in, and they're not perfect. Although God had his hand in everything that came down so that we can understand and know, some of the words are different in the interpretation, trying to interpret one language to another language. Like we say, different words. Some words sound the same, but they mean different, like there and there. T-H-E-I-R and T-H-E-R-E. But you got to know what context you're using it in to understand. And one of the points they brought out in their lesson is sometimes they may interject something into the scriptures that change the wording of it, but it doesn't change the context. But still, when you read it, you could get a different view of it, so to speak, in your mind. Yes?
And when you said that, I remember it must have been on a PBS documentary where the Native American was trying to understand this word possession.
Mm-hmm.
They had no meaning. It did not exist in their culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a challenge, is to come to that, you know.
Right.
And so what, you know, they had to learn, because there was no, in their world, there's no such thing. Everything is yours. Everything is mine. We share alike.
Mm-hmm.
Possession.
It's stuff like that. You know, we want to be able to, when we read something, whether we read it collectively together or whether we read it separately, we all have the same image or the same idea or the same understanding in our mind. And it can happen, and it can be little things, but it can sometimes cause us to go a little bit off course, you know. So I just want to get that out there first before we get started. Like I said, I hope I don't bore you too much with this lesson, but I think it's good that we make sure that we all understand and try to be on the same page. That's what we're studying for. And if you have questions or comments, please let it be known so that we all can make sure that we are on the same page. Let's start off. We want to look at the first two passages here on page 63, 1 Timothy 3, 1-7, and Titus 1, 5-9. Can I get someone to read 1 Timothy, the first seven verses?
This is a faithful saying: if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop must then be blameless, husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man doesn't know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest, being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, you must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach at the snare of the devil.
Okay. And one thing I want to make a point of when we start this lesson, you're going to hear the word, which you just said, bishop, elder, pastor, overseer. Those words are interchangeable. They have the same meaning, basically. And it could be, it's like, I call Chuck a father, a son, a husband, and a man, which he is all of that. But depending on how I'm using it or how I'm calling him or who's talking to him, it depends on which is the best word to use. In the home environment, father would be most common. Among us, we can call you brother, and that didn't need to come out, you know. But when you hear these words in the scripture, know that they're talking about the same thing. And this office of leadership in the church it represents. Yes.
I noticed that the reverend wasn't part of it.
No.
Also need to understand that.
Yes.
The world out there will use that as a designation, as an office,
mm-hmm.
an office, and we say, well, that's not an office in the Lord's
That's why we studying leadership in the church, to know so that we can talk to others and direct them to the scriptures so they will know. But it's still freedom of choice. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't beat nobody over the head, but we can show them where the Bible says, and this is what God says, not what I say, what God says. But yes, that's a very good point. And men take that, which I say men, I include women too, because that's just society. Everybody wants to feel important. Everybody wants to feel like they have some worth. And they want to include everybody. God includes everybody. But you have to be under his rule and go by his guidance, not because you feel like, well, I'm just as good as that, I can do that. That's not what God says. You can't do it. I mean, you can do it, but God's not going to respect you.
There will be consequences.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. And we kind of touched on a little of that. We skirted around it with the last lesson we had about women and their authority in the church. We didn't jump right in on that, but a lot of people think that women have the authority to preach, which they don't. But when you look at them teaching, whether it's in the home or Sunday school class or teaching another sister, younger sister, in a sense, they are preaching. Mm-hmm. You know, but you have to look at the context and what bounds they're talking about. But no, you cannot get in the pulpit and preach. God didn't ordain that. He didn't specify that. He doesn't approve of that. But people do that. And they can go to any school and get credentials and say, well, I'm a preacher. By man's way of thinking. Yes, yes.
That's the whole thing to me. It says literally, holy and reverend is his name.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say anybody else.
That's right.
That's him, you know.
That's right.
That it answers the question, even though people don't seem to want the answer.
Right.
Well, it's like they say, well, my God wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
Okay, who created you? Let's get this straight. And again, it's just selfish pride. Like you're saying, it's a pride thing when you're trying to elevate yourself up above anyone, or trying to make up offices or whatever. You know, the reality is, God has already judged you.
Mm-hmm.
According, and rightly so. Rightly so. We say amen.
I mean, even Jesus, who was equal with God, that considered himself below God.
That's right.
So
that's
why
right. Am
I going to try to use God's name?
Well, see, we have an understanding, but there's people out here that don't. And for their own personal reason, personal gain, they will do that. We're going to see a scripture we're going to talk about a little bit later that scripture tells us that in a lot of times people won't listen to sound doctrine. They'll even get people to say what they want to say, what they want to hear. And then they'll follow behind them like, well, he said it, so it's good.
Yes, and right. And I'm glad you bring that up, because unfortunately that is the reality of this world, that they'd rather follow someone than the word.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so that's a challenge. That, yeah, he may be knowledgeable. He may be due to respect because of his good service, but he is not the authority.
Right.
Christ is the authority.
Right.
Always has been, always will be. And once the whole church understands that, we'll all be better off.
That's why we have leadership in the church. And it's not what man says. Mm-hmm. This is leadership that God has put in place. And we have to follow that from the scriptures. Okay. Very good. Yes.
I found that a lot of what Chuck is talking about also comes from leaders from other churches telling their congregation, you're not smart enough to interpret the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard that too many times. And it's In fact, I argued with a preacher one time about that, and to me, it's they're leading the people astray.
Yeah.
Okay, and then on top of it comes, okay, so I can't really interpret the Bible correctly. So whatever he's saying out there must be the truth.
It's not.
And it's deceptive to the people.
Mm-hmm.
But and then when I would come or anybody and say, well, you can read the Bible. What God wants you to do and how God wants you to live doesn't need no interpretation. It's plain and right to the point. There is no need to interpret anything. But they don't believe it because it's been so indoctrinated. And I find that a lot, trying to teach people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not smart enough to interpret the Bible. I leave that to somebody who studied it.
People bring that on themselves.
Yeah.
You know, because from the earliest of times, God already appointed his apostles and the prophets, people listened to them like they were supposed to do. As it goes down from generation to generation, we've gotten to the point now where, as you said, people just, they don't even bring the Bible to church because they think the preacher is supposed to tell them everything. Now, get this. They think the preacher is supposed to tell them everything, what they're supposed to do or not, but yet still they don't do what the preacher tell them. You know, that's kind of a little messed up right there. Mm-hmm. But the scriptures say, search the scriptures, mm-hmm. read, study to show thyself approved. Now, why would the scriptures say that if all we're going to do is listen to what this one man said? You know, if you do that, you'll already see. And no, we don't put our faith in man. Mm-hmm. We put our faith in God.
I didn't know what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because I went to seminary school. Mm-hmm. You didn't, so you don't know what you're talking about. So I just said, okay.
Anybody that says stuff like that, you already know that's not the one to follow.
People leave alone.
Right. And one other thing, we have to always keep in mind that God has already put everything in place, kept his hand on it from generation to generation, guided it, shaped it, molded it so it'll come down and it's truthful. Don't forget that the devil is out here constantly, what does the Bible say, 24/7? Always trying to tear down, always trying to change things, create a different illusion. So you get somebody, got a PhD, a EED, a PH, you know, whatever letters you want to add to it, and he's so knowledgeable, and, you know, he's the best there ever was, and we supposed to listen to him? And society is, like I said, so much now that, oh, here's a guy that he's greater than the public guy, or he is a track star, he's a movie star, he's a whatever you have it, famous person. And whatever they say out of their mouth, people believe and go with and follow behind. We supposed to, why do we have this up here? Mm-hmm. You know, why do we have this? God give everybody one.
Thank God for that, too. Our challenge has always been as we grow older,
mm-hmm.
come to the understanding that this, tempered with this, guided by this,
yes.
You know, that hopefully we'll get it right or be better at it than not.
And that's why we have Sunday school, mm-hmm. to learn, to be able to, if I didn't quite understand it, because to understand, we have some areas in scripture where it didn't say, thus said this and thus said that, specifically. My wife always get on me because I can't never say that word right. But anyway, he didn't say, thou should do this, thou should do that. He leaves it up to us to decipher what is right that you should do. But he tells you enough for you to know what is right. And then, if there's question, then we come together and study together, or we go to our leaders and say, well, what does the Bible say about this? Oh, I don't quite get this. Why don't we do this? Why can't we have this? Why? What does God want us to do? That's where the interpretation comes in. But other than that, basically, we have the knowledge because we have his word. Everybody. And can understand it. But we're gonna get into all that.
And we really, because we have the knowledge, we don't have an excuse either.
That's right. Right.
Cause you make a good point. I think a lot of people want to relinquish their responsibility to the minister as well. Right. As well as, like you're saying, there's some of them that think they're God here on earth. Mm-hmm. Hear what I have to say. You don't know anything.
That's because...
That's just if people don't use their brains. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, even if, me as a child, I knew that some of the things that people were telling me, it can't be that way. Mm-hmm. You know? So, but I think people get complacent and say, well, I don't need to study. Mm-hmm. He knows it, so I can follow that.
That's the excuse. Mm-hmm. They keep you from having responsibility. Yeah. Well, I can't pray like this brother, so I ain't gonna get up and pray. That's my excuse. God said I still supposed to pray. You know, this brother's not at home with me at night. Or in the daytime when I first wake up, or when I go to bed at night, or whatever, when I eat and whatever. So what am I supposed to do then? Hey, Chuck, can you pray for me? I'm getting ready to eat. Come on. We still supposed to pray. Mm-hmm. Scripture teaches, Jesus showed us how to pray. He showed his disciples. So we still supposed to pray. You know, but we want to use an excuse. We want to find a loophole. We want to get out of it. You know, and as long as I can do that, then I do my part, you know, but when it comes to really doing something, stepping up, do something, he can do it better than I can. The preacher said, the deacon said, the elder said, did you search the scriptures to find out if what he was saying was true? You believe what he said, so now when you get before judgment, where you going to say, well, the preacher said, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not gonna work. Nope. Yes.
We had a good example. We had a brother here who at first felt he couldn't lead singing.
Mm-hmm.
But with the encouragement from the brothers, he finally got up there and did lead singing. And now, of course, as time goes on, he's getting better at doing that. And so that's where we as a family encourage each other to, you know, get out of their comfort zone.
That's right.
Grow into what the Lord would have you to do. And there's, because of our trips, there was a brother who was very hesitant, I guess we'll say, about doing praying in our small groups. And so all the men, they're, encouraging him, brother, you can do it. Brother, you can do it. Say what's on your heart. And he did.
Yeah.
And he did. So it's just getting
taking that leap of faith.
The leap of faith or the right encouragement, a small group, whatever. When the time is right and the opportunity presents itself, a little encouragement, he did.
Yeah.
He did. So
that's for every one of us. Every one of us.
I think when it comes to the work within the Lord's body, you're going to find a lot of Moses,
mm-hmm.
that say, well, Lord, I'm not good at this.
Yeah.
You know, I can't speak very well, or I'm not good in leadership. We have excuses.
Yeah.
Yet, if we let the Lord approach us and we have these jobs put before us, if we trust him and step out in faith, we grow.
Yes.
But if we stand back and just say, I can't, how can you grow?
That's true. That's the Holy Spirit that carries us.
Yeah.
Comforts us and sustains us and carries us through. Gets us through.
I kind of compare it to your muscles in your body. They might be weak, but if you exercise them, they get strong.
Yes, you do.
If whatever job you are approached with the doom, yeah, you may be a beginner at it. Mm-hmm. But the more you do it, the more secure you get in doing it. And I think that's the Lord working within you. I mean, I think, I'm pretty sure we all have been approached with jobs to do, whether it be teaching or leading songs or whatever. Mm-hmm. We hesitated when we first had to do it, yeah. Right? But we grew into it.
Yeah.
And that to me is God working within you, bringing out your possibilities. Mm-hmm. And if you stand back, how are we going to grow in this?
You'll be amazed at what the Lord will have you doing and saying. I mean, just talking with people, you know, not even in the church, yeah, setting, just talking with people. And you think later on, hey, where did that come from? I didn't know, you know.
Who was that person?
Yeah, you know. But God's speaking through you, using you. You allow yourself to be used, He will use you.
But you, you're right. I mean, you make a good point, but part of that is that listening for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
For that prompting, if you will, say, Wes, you need to go talk to that person. You're looking up, looking around, so where did that come from? You know? And off you go. Because that's probably the very reason why you were there. Again, for that moment, for that time, God knows you're His servant.
Mm-hmm.
Servant, that lady needs prayer, or whatever.
You know? Yeah.
So, you go. And so, we've learned over time to be attentive for that prompting, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so, not by my own decision, because it's one thing to go and say, okay, I'm going to get a 2 pounds of hamburger. I'm going for 2 pounds of hamburger. See, I put that in my mind. That's my goal. That's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then, out of the blue, said, no, you're going to get 2 pounds of salmon. Where'd that come from? You know, I guess I'm trying to explain, mm-hmm, a spiritual thing,
yep, yep,
and that there is a difference.
That
this came out of, it wasn't me, it wasn't a gut feeling, it wasn't my mind. I made that decision.
Mm-hmm.
No, sweetheart, you got to go see that person.
You're right. Okay.
That's an example.
Very good.
But back to the leadership.
Mm-hmm.
The discourse. Lazarus passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we know Jesus loved him. But Jesus made it a point, we're not going right now.
Oh, yeah.
And so now when he's gone to him and see the family, he's saying, we're going to roll back the stone. And then again, the point is made. Ooh, that's going to be awful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to paraphrase it, but it's going to be an awful thing. But I'm going to pick up verse 43. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did, put their faith in him.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of think that's a no-brainer, right? Because he is dead.
Right.
Dead. And so there you see him alive. And that's a bona fide miracle.
Yeah.
You know, the power being demonstrated right there, you see with your own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we continue. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you would think that they too would believe in Christ because of what was done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. What are we accomplishing? They asked. Again, that was the leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Again, an attitude of the leadership. Here is this man performing many miraculous signs, and they declared it right there. They declared it. Jesus is performing miraculous signs. If we let him go, on like this, everyone will believe in him. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation.
Right.
See, again, time and time again, where the leadership believes their position outweighs what God says, what God does, what God wants.
Their purpose, their personal interest is what they were concerned about. But they believed because of what they heard. And they still believe too, even though they didn't want to admit it. They still end up admitting it. If they didn't, they wouldn't have did what they did. So, you're right.
But you think somebody would have had enough sense to say, if he's able to do this, it's got to be God.
I know.
That's the part I don't get.
That's
right. I mean, even when it boils down, I know everybody has an agenda for something.
Mm-hmm.
But how can you deny the fact of what you see? You can literally go to this man and talk to him and carry on a conversation when you know he didn't exist a little while back.
That's because, remember what I said about the free will? You got one side of you that wants to believe and another side of you that don't want to believe. That's what's always warring in yourself. You know what you're supposed to do is right. And you know the other side, you keep telling you, no, you ain't got to do that. That's constantly going on. You have probably said to yourself at a certain time or another, you're seeing something, I don't believe that. And you're looking right at it. I don't believe it. You get up and you're on your way to church, you go down the road and walk, 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 walk. You get out and look, I'm flat tired, man, I don't believe this. I don't believe this. It's not going to change. I don't care how many of you are not going to believe it. I don't believe it. Or you come, man, you're not going to believe what happened to me today. But it did happen. Constantly. We see, we know, we don't want to accept. That's the physical part. But you got faith because we made God's image. We know what the truth is. You're supposed to accept the truth. But God gives us that free will that you can still, even though you see it, and he's not going to punish you, not right then, but he lets you know, if you don't, this is what's going to happen. And you can live a whole life and you think, well, God said this is going to happen, that's going to happen. It's not until you get to the final, because once this life is over, it's not the final. You got to stand before judgment. And then it's too late to say, oh, I'm sorry, there's nothing to say. Yeah, you didn't believe this, but now it's true.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times that we are too much creatures of this world. We're just interested in the benefit we have in the here and now,
mm-hmm.
instead of thinking, what kind of benefit am I going to have after I leave this earth? Because we're so we're so hung up in this this life,
yeah.
that we forget this life is really nothing compared to the life we will have with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's the problem of the majority of the people. What benefit am I going to have if I do this in this life? You know, will it get me to live longer? Will I be richer? Will I be having more or whatever? Instead of, like Jesus said, lay up treasures in heaven
right.
instead of here on earth.
You have to build your faith. But until you have faith, and the way you get faith is to see or experience something that happens, that, again, you say, how did that happen?
Exactly.
Not, I don't believe that, because you know it happened, but how did that happen? That worked out for my good. And you may have prayed on it, and everything worked out. And then he said, but God, there's no other explanation but God. Mm-hmm. That's a little faith, like that little flicker. Mm-hmm. It got a little brighter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now you see something else, and you got build your faith. That little flicker got a little brighter. Next thing you know, you got a little flame like on the top of a candle. When you turn it around in you, and you know, and you can tell somebody else, if you do this, trust in God, because I know it'll work, because that little flame is burning in you, and you've already got experience, and you can talk about what God brought you through. You see things happen with other folks, man, that little flame getting a little bit brighter, getting a little bit bigger. And you can tell others, the more you experience it, the more your faith grows. You're stronger. But it comes a strong wind, they're going to blow it, and it might blow it down to that little flicker again. Mm-hmm. But you need more faith to help make it get back in a bigger flame again, so that you can go out and spread it to others. Go ahead, Jane.
This week, the weather we had, I really think was beautiful, because, like I said, we got all four seasons within 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, God, you know, everybody told me, just that. I said, God, just let you know who's in charge.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yep.
I had a word to read the second part of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, the second part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It said, it is veiled to those who are perishing, those whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, left the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, they like to be talking about they all of worrying about their possessions or their positions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's why they blinded. That's why Satan, they are easy to be blinded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's another version of that same scripture, and I think it determines or it tells that to God, we are the fragrance of Christ when we are among Christians or those that are trying to be saved. But to those that are not trying to be saved, then we're like death, because they don't want to hear nothing we got to say. They don't want to confirm. They don't want to change their life around. But it's based on the same thing what you were saying. But as I said before, we have a choice. You know, God doesn't take that away. And you got to wonder, well, why don't God just don't give us a choice? Just let us do, you know, set it so we just supposed to do that. If he did that, then he wouldn't be fair. You know, he gives us a choice, and he tells you beforehand what's going to happen. And it's not like he's punishing you. What is like you tell your children or whatever, don't touch this fire, it's going to burn you. But you don't put the fire out, and you don't build a fence around it so they can't get to it. Because you need this fire, the cook, the walk, the heat, to do everything you got to do. But you tell them, and while they're little, you might keep them away from it. Yeah. But as they get older, you tell them, look, don't mess with this fire because it won't hurt you. When they get to that point where they know, and you mess with it if you want to, and you get hurt, I told you. You may do it while you're out of my sight. You may do it when my back is turned. You may try it. But it's going to hurt you. I already told you. But you just had to find out for yourself. Now you're going to go over there and tell everybody else, don't mess with that fire. That's that fire. You know. And it's sad to say, but sometimes people got to experience stuff before they believe it. You know. But I didn't get a chance to get too far into this, but that's good, because we're building a foundation on what we're going to be looking at and the purpose of the leadership. What I hope, I'm going to say this real quick again, we're going to end it up. What I want to just to be able to get out of this lesson is that understanding of what is meant by these qualifications that we look at in the leadership, because it pertains to the one that's standing in the position of a leader, but it also pertains to each and every one of you. Because believe it or not, you may not be in the position of an elder or digging in the church, but you're still in the position of a leader when you're telling somebody else about Christ. You're still setting that example, whether it's among your children, your nieces, your nephews, your neighbors, whoever. 24/7, you live for Christ, and you still set that example. So that's what it's going to boil down to, but I hope it's going to be interesting enough where it still holds y'all's attention. But that's all we have for today.
Thank you.
Thank you all.